meeting to order. Meeting house is being recorded and audio will be posted on the city website. Anyone wishing to speak, please raise your hand until recognized by the mayor and then state your name and residence. Pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the approval of the agenda, and I have a few things that I'd like to add and subtract. Do I need a motion for any of these additions or subtractions?
You would like that deal with?
Well, I want to add pagers onto the fire and rescue. And also state that the handbook is not ready from the, down here on purchasing the personnel. That's, we haven't gotten that yet, so I'd like to remove that from the agenda. So then I'd like a motion.
You make a motion to accept the changes to the agenda?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so then we're on to open forum. Anybody got anything to say right now? Nope. Okay, we're moving on to the consent agenda. And is there any motion to approve that?
I'd like to look at motion 2501.
What page number would you mind?
There is, it says on there, resolution 2501, statutory power.
Oh, that's a page 29.
Is that, where's it?
29?
Yep.
Okay.
Do you need to pass this resolution or can it fall under the whole consent agenda?
It can fall under the agenda.
I make a motion to pass the consent agenda as stated.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then we move on to new business, and it looks like we have someone ready to speak to us from Clifton Larson Allen, Becca Nielsen.
Yes. And would it work good for me to share my screen, or do you have the PowerPoint pulled up?
Probably share your screen if that works with you.
Yep. Just wanted to make sure. So I just wanted to get started by saying I'm Becca Nielsen, so I was manager on the city audit this year again. Doug decided that I needed more experience with presenting, so he decided that I was going to be the one to go over your audit results this year to give himself a little bit of a break. So first up is the agenda for tonight. So first we'll go over some of the required communications, then I'll go over your audit results and your financial results, and then I'll do a quick recap over the key issues and a summary. So first up, these, as auditors, there are certain communications that we are required to do every year and give to city council members. So here's a few lists of them, and then a few key highlights. So our primary responsibility as auditors is to provide an opinion on the fairness of the financial statements. So when we do this, we review the city's internal controls in place to see if they are operating effectively. And then we look to see if duties are split between multiple people, if possible, based on the size of the entity. So we use a risk-based audit approach. And so if we deem an area to be more high risk, then we do more extensive testing on that area. And then we also previously communicated the scope and timing of our audit and our engagement letter that was signed, I believe it was last fall. And then in note one of the financial statement, so that's going to be your big document, which I believe you guys have sitting in front of you, that will go over the significant accounting policies that the city has in place. We've reviewed for any unusual or significant transactions, and we didn't notice anything unusual this year. And then also for 2024, there was a new accounting standard that had to be implemented. So that was GASB 101. This was over compensated absences. And this did not have an effect on the city this year, just because the city is cash basis. So those accruals just with compensated absences just do not affect your financial statements. We review any management judgments or accounting estimates just to make sure that they're reasonable and they're supported. Again, with a cash basis city, there weren't any for us to review or to test. We look for any corrected or uncorrected misstatements. So we did note that there were not any material audit adjustments this year. And then there were a couple small uncorrected adjustments. Since they were immaterial to the financial statements, we just didn't think they were necessary to post.
What were the small, two very small items? You didn't include them, but they are financial. What?
So I believe off the top of my head, one was for last year, in the liquor fund, the prepaid asset balance. I think it was miscalculated incorrectly last year, so then it wasn't off by much, but then we just flowed through that change this year so that the ending balance was correctly stated. And then I believe the other one is just interest earnings. So with the way CDs work and the way that they pay their interest on those CDs, it doesn't quite always line up with how the cash is received by the city, if that makes sense.
So
based on like what's accrued on the CD. So the statements that we're getting from the bank don't necessarily line up with the actual cash that the city receives.
Okay, thank you.
And then in the bound financial statement copies that you have in front of you, you'll see a section called supplementary information. So this information is not subject to our full audit procedures. Management is responsible to prepare that information, and then we perform limited testing over that. And then there's also another section called other information. So this includes the capital asset schedule, the schedule of accounts receivable, the schedule of accounts payable, and then your schedule of indebtedness. So we don't actually issue an opinion on these schedules. We just review them for any obvious errors. Just with the city being a cash basis city and not full accrual, you're not required to report those. So we don't perform full audit procedures over those schedules. And then disagreements with management, we're required to report any. We did not have any disagreements with management. Anne was great to work with again this year, and the audit went very smoothly. So thank you to Anne.
Thank you.
We did not consult with any other auditors, and we did not run into any difficulties. There were no major issues we had to discuss with management prior to the issuance of the audit. And that was it for our required communications. Now moving on to the city's actual audit results. So as part of our audit, we put together two different types of recommendations. So we call these material weaknesses and significant deficiencies. So material weaknesses are a type of deficiency that we find are necessary to be communicated to governance and that have the potential to be material. And then significant deficiencies are less severe than material weaknesses, but are still required to be communicated to governance, but do not have, they are not considered to be quite as material. So I just want to start by saying that the first two items that we notice on the slide here, these the segregation of duties and then the auditor's financial statements and notes, these are actually very common findings that about 95% of our cities actually have. Especially in a city the size of 50 Lakes, it doesn't make sense for you to employ more employees just to try to segregate those duties further. It's just not cost beneficial. So we typically see that segregation of duties findings in most of our cities, and it's a year over year finding here at the city. And then financial statement preparation, again, just due to the size of the city, that's a lot of additional time that would have to be put on and to prepare the financial statements. So that's something that we actually take on as part of the audit. And then we didn't find any significant deficiencies for 2024. And then also the Office of the State Auditor releases 7 questionnaires each year for us auditors to test. So we didn't find any non-compliance on the city's part as we went through these questionnaires this year. So that was great to see. And then moving on to the financial results. So this slide is showing the general fund. So you can see here the fund balance. It's broken up by months over the past 5 years. So at year end for the general fund, the unassigned or the unrestricted fund balance in the general fund is sitting at about $467,000. This was actually a decrease by about $64,000 from the prior year. Overall, revenues in the general fund actually increased by about $70,000 from the prior year. This was just due to an increase in taxes, an increase in state aid, and an increase in interest earnings. But your expenses also increased from the prior year by about $139,000. So the city had additional expenses for the splash pad in the current year, which caused those expenses to increase by about like $180,000, I think is what you spent on the splash pad in the current year. But then there was actually some decreases in health insurance costs and then some staffing changes that caused decreases in salaries in the current year. So that kind of brought you down to the $139,000 overall increase in expenditures. So as your auditors, we typically recommend that the city has 5 months of expenditures sitting in unassigned fund balance at year end. For 2024, the city is sitting at 10 months, so that's a great place to be. You're above what our recommendation is, so I don't see any concerns there. Overall, your ending fund balance is about 96% of what current year total revenues are, so you're sitting at a very healthy fund balance for the general fund. Moving on to governmental fund revenues. So this slide shows a comparison of revenues by type over the past 5 years for the governmental funds, which is all the funds held by the city except your liquor fund. So you can see here that the tax revenues increased by about $75,000 or 14%. So this was just due to your levy changes and then an increase in collections. License and permits and intergovernmental revenues increased by about 10% from the prior year. The actual dollar amount increases were only a couple thousand dollars, so very minimal. Charges for services increased by about 33%. So this was primarily due to additional AIS inspection services that were provided by the city in the current year. And then taxes and intergovernmental revenues are your biggest chunks of revenue. So this is, those combined are about approximately 80% of your total revenues. So this is very consistent year over year. Then moving on to the governmental fund expenditures. So similar to the last slide, this is the expenditures broken out by type over the past 5 years, excluding the liquor fund. So overall expenditures decreased by about $164,000 from the prior year. So So where the city did have additional costs that I mentioned in the general fund for that splash pad, actually last year there was more capital outlay expenditures with the purchase of the Ziegler grader. I believe that was about $339,000. So that's where we're seeing the overall decrease in expenses, was just without having that grader purchase in the current year. And then overall general government expenses decreased in the current year. This was primarily due to those staffing changes and then the decrease in health insurance. Public works, we noted, increased by about $8,000, and that was primarily due to the cost of living adjustments made for employee salaries and benefits in the current year. This next slide shows your long-term liabilities over the past 5 years. So you can see that it's actually been decreasing as the debt payments are made on the bond. So overall, at the end of the year, your remaining liability to be paid was $44,065.
Can I just explain to them quickly? That is the fire truck.
That's the balance of the fire truck.
Yes. So this slide is going to be your liquor fund revenue and expense comparison. So this is on the full accrual basis. So this is going to have those capital asset activities in there and your inventory balances, along with some the net pension liability. So the change in balances is going to be reflected in your revenues and expenses on this slide. So under the full accrual basis, revenues decreased by about $36,000 from the prior year. So liquor sales were down this year. So we kind of just noted that this was primarily due to not as many events being held at the liquor store in the current year. And then expenses also decreased by about $60,000. So there were decreases in repairs and then also a decrease in salary due to the bar manager vacancy during the year. And then overall, the net operating revenue for the liquor fund increased by about $24,000 from the prior year. So this next slide for the liquor fund is on a cash basis, showing the gross profit percentage over the past 5 years. So gross profit increased by 2.8% from the prior year. Overall, net position in the cash basis increased by about $83,000. And then you can also see here that the gross profit percentage was at 50% versus 53% in the current year. And it, you can see it's also trending upwards. So I believe overall your liquor fund cash balances are sitting at $221,000 as of December 31st. So just to recap, overall unrestricted fund balance is sitting with 10 months of expenditures, which is very healthy and above our recommendation of 5 months. And then the liquor fund has a $83,000 increase in net profit, causing the ending balance of your cash in that fund to be about $221,000. Anybody have any questions? I put our contact information on the slide, so if you guys have any further questions after this meeting.
Excuse me, go ahead. Just a little bit. You said the liquor store had $83,000 in profit before transfers. Does that reflect on how much is that over?
So there actually weren't any transfers in 2024. I believe last year was the last year for the transfers. I believe that was for the loan that the general fund had made to the liquor store.
Okay.
So, no transfers this year. So that was, we just kept that language in there. I think last year there was $136,000 transfer that was made from the liquor fund to the general fund.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions?
No. Thank you, Becca. You've been wonderful to work with, you and your whole team. Very patient with me.
Of course, thank you very much. It's great working with you. And like I said, just let us know if you have any other questions. Doug and I are always open for phone calls or emails.
Becca? Does your office deal at all with gambling issues, audits for a gambling department?
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
Does your office handle anything with legalized gambling audits?
No, we do not. We do not handle the gambling audits.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right, then. I guess we're moving on to the CD renewal. And the CD page is 29 and page 30. I think so. 30.
Page 30.
Yeah, 30. Uh-huh.
So it's actually page 9 and page 30. So page 9 is the cash control statement, which is your treasurer's report. Highlighted in yellow is the CD that is coming due, or did come due.
We decided if we do the overlay on Northgate Lane, that could be covered just out of the road budget alone for the most part, and or the other CD that's due in July, correct?
Yeah, well, there's one coming in May and then one in July. Because nobody's been awarded County Road 3 yet, correct? So we don't know who's doing 3 to get a price on, an updated price on Northgate Lane.
$125,000 for a 2-inch overlay. Okay. And Randy, you coming from that department? Sound about right? I'm not sure how long that road is. A little over a mile. So.
Yeah, that's not outlined.
That's Meyer. I'm sorry.
Pardon?
Northgate.
Yeah. That's close. Yeah, that has something to do with Manhattan Beach, then, too. Do we have to do this in conjunction with them, or how is this?
Yeah, that was talked about with Anderson Brothers already. If they are awarded the bid, they realize.
Manhattan Beach is on board with all of this. Okay.
They were with their prior mayor. I don't know.
I haven't had any correspondence with their new mayor. I could certainly do that if you want me to.
Please reach out to them on this issue.
I think it'd be a great idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the 120 was just our portion. I believe their portion was 35,000 or something like that. Yeah. We'll look back at the breakdown.
Okay. And so there's enough in the check. And with the other two coming too.
Yeah, we do.
Then we can roll this into something.
Well, we can go longer term. Meaning we don't really need that money in the real foreseeable future. Later on, and we've got enough to cover that big road expense. The only other road expense I see coming along the road is going to be spreading gravel.
There's nothing up on Hegel we've got to do.
Well, you've got your road plan in your package.
Yeah, and that's to come later on. We can go through that. Sure. But in the short term, right? And we have the other one coming in May.
Yeah, we've got one in July.
You see that?
I wonder if that 12 month at 4.25.
That's what I would recommend. That's a pretty good rate. And they actually, she was at 4.10 for the 6 month and 4 for the 12, but they want to keep us. So she upped it 25.25% for both of those.
Yeah, 4.25 at 12 months looks good.
It does, and then there's no additional work to be done because it's the
right.
same
thing.
Right, then we're not voting on it in 6 months again.
Okay, right. I'll make a motion.
Because I think it needs to be saved.
I'll make a motion that we roll the CD over with First Western Bank and at a rate of 4.25% for 12 months.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
One question with regard to the road construction work. Does that show up as far as a company or the county paying X amount and the state paying?
They've never helped us with roads in the past.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We've just tried to tag on when they're in the neighborhood, just like there's no crack sealing for up here this year. So we're gonna kind of, we're on our own if we want to crack seal. We did lower Kego last year, and I think we just, because it's a price difference to have them come up here, it's really better to just wait and jump on their shirt tails when they're here. It's a lot cheaper.
All right, the next thing is the ordinance amendment, 2025-1, on page 31 through 44. And that is changing the zoning on the city property to a new classification. I don't know, perhaps Justin could explain that better if we need to.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor and Council. First of all, good to be back again. I was here in January, and at that time, the City Council initiated an ordinance amendment for the establishment of the public zone. So that's sort of kicked off the entire process for creating provisions for this new zoning district. And so last month, February, the Planning Commission, along with Bethany, prepared an amendment to the code to create this new district called the Public and Parks District, and the description of that district is for existing use of public land and for land properly suited for public buildings, parks and open spaces, and other locations for public or semi-public use. Such uses shall include but not be limited to parks, nature areas, city buildings and facilities, and public recreation. So if you look up at your map, you currently have a couple different commercial districts, a couple residential districts, an agricultural district, and a forest management district. You have nothing for public use. Currently, the City Hall property, the maintenance building, and I'll call it the pickleball parcel, are all zoned commercial. So this first amendment would create a new zone, the Parks and Public District. And do you want me to go through the land use matrix? It wouldn't take too long. Not one by one I want to go through. But
I know, just the highlights. Yeah, maybe a couple highlights.
So I'll do the highlights. So basically in this zone, you're all familiar with the land use matrix, I'm assuming. You have the land use districts across the top and then the different uses that are allowed in the city along the left-hand side. And so in this new district, the following uses would be allowed either with a permit or a CUP. So accessory structures would be allowed with a permit. A cemetery, a community recreation center, dirt moving would be allowed at the CUP. A deck would be allowed with just a permit. Moving over to the next page, more dirt moving allowed at the CUP. A driveway would be a permitted use. Renewable energy system, so solar energy, would be under 50 kilowatts allowed with the CUP. Forest management with a best management practices plan would be permitted. Government buildings, CUP, on-sale liquor, CUP, and placement of a mobile food unit would be allowed with a permit. Next page, outdoor seasonal sales, IUP, parks and historic sites, CUP, a public beach, CUP, public parking, permitted, recycling center and collection site, CUP, restaurant, CUP, schools, CUP, signs would both be two types of signs, both permitted, and then a telecommunication tower would be a CUP. And lastly, let's see, water-oriented accessory structures permitted use. We see a couple in there that are related to shorelines. Obviously, City Hall does not have shoreline. The thought there was that at some point in the future, maybe the city would acquire some shoreline property, and then these uses would be allowed, either with the CUP or permitted. Another thought was that the DNR boat access could potentially be rezoned someday to the public zone. With this amendment, this first amendment is just setting up the zone, and then you have another rezone application that would apply only to city-owned property. So back to the amendment with the provisions. I won't go through all these, but this would establish section 5.03 along with the provisions there. You have the setbacks. One thing to note there is impervious surface coverage. I think the existing commercial maximum is 50%, and so with this amendment, that will go up to 60% coverage allowed in the public zone. And then she does have some performance standards here listed as well. So the Planning Commission did review this last month in February and is recommending approval of the amendment.
So we need approval of amendment 2025-1, is that?
Yes.
I'll make the motion to pass with one question. You and I went down this road before. Would it pay to have these all in one parcel? You and I talked about it quite some time ago at one point.
Yeah, I don't know what the downside to that would be. I guess when we look at impervious, we base it on a per parcel basis.
Right.
You're right near the limit, or at least you were with the 50%.
Right.
I understand you have some additional improvements coming. From what Bethany and I have reviewed, I don't think a variance would be required, but if you do anything in addition to that, you might be looking at a variance to exceed impervious.
And going down that road with this County Road 1 expansion, we're going to lose two accesses to it, and they want us to put, they're going to take recycled asphalt and make it go across where we're sitting, right in front of these trees,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying those trees, and that'll be considered impervious, being even a gravel or recycled asphalt base.
They're putting that on city property?
Correct.
With your permission, I'm assuming? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a trade-out.
Okay. Yeah, that would then count towards your impervious on that parcel, and I don't know what it's at with the parking lot there now.
Correct. I was just kind of wondering. You and I actually measured it up. We were actually at like 51% at one point,
yeah.
52%. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting there. You have a fairly large parking lot here. The good thing is you have, you have some stormwater retention areas.
And that's what I saw on this, is it broke down some water retention areas.
Yep.
Are we going to, do we gain more impervious surface? Should we retain more of our water? Is that 60% kind of a state go-to number as far as impervious surface? You go down towards Brainerd, where everybody's got a huge parking lot, and then they have a retention area that's as big or smaller than ours even.
It varies, yeah. I mean, in some cities they have 100% coverage allowance, but they have stormwater drains, you know.
So is that something I'm just wondering if that's something we should be looking forward to, maybe creating another type of stormwater.
Well, here too, I'm going to come on this section. If we decide, this also allows us to go up to 75% non-pervious or impervious. And at that time, we do need to put in a stormwater management plan.
Yep, so 60% would be allowed administratively. Bethany could issue a permit to the city for up to 60% coverage. If you want to go up to 75, you'd have to work with an engineer to do the 25-year, 24-hour rain event, which is a pretty significant event. I think some codes have like the 10-year event for residential, but for commercial, this makes, or commercial related, makes sense.
Okay.
So if you're under 60, I mean, are you aware of it? You can do a stormwater plan at any time. If you have runoff issues, you can hire an engineer anytime to put together a plan. But I'd be comfortable if under that 60 not having that that plant at this point. Yeah, especially with your soil type. I mean, you're not, it's not like a clay. Yeah. Yeah. Another thing to think about is the setback. So you do have the right-of-way setback of 35 feet, side yard setback of 10 feet. A part of that is to manage stormwater on your own property, so making sure that the new pickleball court is at least 10 feet off of, you know, the south and the east right. property lines. Yeah.
Well, we have a resolution. Did you make? I think Mark made a motion.
You made it. Nobody seconded it yet.
I second.
Okay, 1 second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Okay, and along with that amendment, you, in order for it to be in effect, you either have to publish the entire amendment or the publication summary. So Bethany prepared a publication summary that would require a separate motion, and this is just to publish the approval in the paper.
I make a motion that we publicly put in the paper whatever Bethany said.
I second. A motion and a second, all in favor.
Aye.
Aye. All right, then we need the zoning map amendment here. And that's amendment 03-25, and that's gonna change the, you know, our classifications on these three properties here.
Question, is it all five properties? No, those two are already zoned commercial, aren't they? The other two land use and then the foundation?
We're talking about these three, right? Is that crossing one?
Yeah.
So yeah, this zoning map amendment applies to just the three city-owned parcels that are in yellow: the parking lot parcel, city hall parcel, and pickleball parcel. Rezoning those from commercial to this new zone called Publixton Park. And so these parcels all meet the minimum requirements of this new zoning district that you just approved. So the Planning Commission is recommending that these three parcels be rezoned to the new district, Public and Parks, based on the 10 findings in the staff report.
If moving forward, should we get any more property? Should we include that? Should we revisit this and expand it at that point?
I think so. Yes. It's cleanest to have, in my opinion, all the city-owned properties under this district so that when you look at the map, you can see what city-owned property is. I would also consider at a later date maybe looking at some other, because you have other public property in the city. Yeah, the boat accesses, those could be public.
The piece out on Manhattan Beach Point. You and I went and visited a tree there.
Oh, that's a right-of-way. That doesn't have
you want to talk about beach property. We've got 35 feet on Trout Lake.
So that doesn't have a...
You guys,
that doesn't have a parcel number. That's a right-of-way. So any, you can't zone a right-of-way. So it's anything that has a parcel number.
Okay.
So you're not going to zone like your, you know, your platted roads. That was a platted right-of-way down to the lake. Didn't have a parcel number, but lots of county tax forfeited land.
What is our options on a parcel of property like that one on Manhattan Beach Point? Is it really worth it for the city to sit on that? Or at this point, it's a liability because of that popple tree that's yay big around. How do other cities handle that, or what are your thoughts?
Didn't Cross Lake kind of just give a lot of that away? They had quite a few of them. They just kind of let them go, didn't they?
I am not sure about that. So what Councillor Bradley is referring to is back when they platted, it's the plat just south of
Manhattan Beach Point.
So part of it's in Cross Lake, part of it's in the city 50 Lakes. The north part's in 50 Lakes. Southern portion, it's south of that.
Right there.
Oh, you're talking the north side?
Or no.
There's one on the north side too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is
Yep.
It's 35 feet that's our property for, I don't know why, but...
So what I've always been told is that they platted those way back when, 125 years ago, for two reasons. One, for fire trucks to get access to the lake. I don't think they can there because it's too steep.
You're right.
And the second is for owners within that development that don't own lakeshore property to be able to access the lake. So it's a public right-of-way, meaning anyone in the public can access that. This one happens to go through the middle of the yard. It's in between two properties. The benefit, I think, of keeping it open is that it's open to the public. People want to ski down there or snowshoe or get access to the lake, they have a right to do that. If you do want to vacate that, it's a pretty lengthy process. You have to notify everyone within the plat. You have to have a public hearing. There are documents you need to file with the county. It's possible. But then you would also have to have Cross Lake agree to it because they own that southern right-of-way. It's Cross Lake and then, or is it Manhattan Beach?
I think Manhattan Beach.
Is it Manhattan Beach?
At least.
Okay. There's like a trifecta there, three different cities coming together. There might be some in both. The DNR, at least the former area hydro, had always said that their general stance was that they prefer to leave those open because there's no real, I guess, downside. I'm not sure that the city would have liability. That'd be a question for your attorney. I don't.
That tree.
Yeah, I don't think you would, but I don't know. And the other thing to think about, and Karen and I ran this analysis, so. Because this came up like, 5 years ago or something, and Cross Lake had contacted 50 Lakes and said, what are your thoughts on this? Because they received a vacation request for this right-of-way. I said, all right, well, let's say it's vacated. What is the value of that property? So I did it, you know, a quick desktop analysis, and it was valued at like a couple $1,000. And then I did the city tax rate on that, and it ended up being like the city would generate an extra like $6 a year or something. If that were to go back on the tax rolls.
Right.
And so is, I guess it's like something for you to consider is, I mean, it's not being used by the public. Is it worth $6 a year in increased revenue?
Part of the problem, the public doesn't know about it.
Yeah.
So that's, it looks like you'd be walking down through somebody's yard.
It does.
They have boats parked on it. And, you know, I mean, I'd like to keep it open to the public, but should mark it some way, or I don't know. I think that's a future discussion.
I was just curious what his thoughts were on the tree. Is it the tree whose property sits on has a liability if it lands on the neighbor's?
Did we have a tree cut in there at that time when we went and looked at it?
You know, we discussed having it done in the winter, which we got about 2 more minutes.
I don't know if the owners took care of it, or I can't remember.
He had one, I think, that he was complaining about, and I think it was determined that was on his property.
I could have been.
The one that was the most threatening, I think, but there's some old growth kind of down in there, too, so. No, I think it would be wonderful to keep it open to the public, but, if, you know, to be able to identify it. You know, the thing is, it's steep, but, you know.
So that was, I guess, that jogs my memory. Now, another point the DNR made was that once it is vacated, the public will never get that back. So whether or not you use it, or the city now uses it, you might not, but who knows in 50, you know, years. I don't know.
Well, it's nice to have a place that the people that aren't on the lake are able to access to use the lake.
Right.
I mean, that's what it was made for.
A future asset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I couldn't see how we had a goal there. I guess if we ever, if there's, maybe we should look at the trees, and if necessary, go in and take some of the bigger ones down. I even for safety for the neighbors.
Did we have a motion on that?
I'll make a motion to accept the zoning map amendment 03-25.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Then we're on the zoning. Page 55. time, would you, perhaps you'd like to comment on this?
Sure, thank you. As long as I'm here. So I wasn't at the meeting, but the Planning Commission did meet in February. They had three public hearings. Two were related to the zoning map amendment and the ordinance amendment. And then the third was they approved a variance to expand a pre-existing dwelling for an addition within the Shoreland Residential District. The property is located at 16969 North Eagle Lake Road. That one was approved, and the approval letter is included in the council packet. Bethany did provide here a list of the permits that have been issued year to date, as well as the actual permit list. Looks like so far this year you've issued 4 land use permits. So if you have any questions, I can attempt to answer.
Do we have to make approval of that? Altogether?
Informational.
Jess, I do have one question on the land use permit. WOAS, the permit applied for on 325.
Yes, so that would be a water oriented structure, I believe. WOAS, water oriented accessory structure.
There's no, is that for us?
No.
Smith Barber, no address.
It doesn't show that it was it's incomplete, no payment.
Oh, it's an after the fact. So ATF is after the fact, meaning they built it without a permit.
Right.
So construction of a 40 by 80 accessory structure and after the fact permit for water-oriented accessory structure.
What I believe this one is a, it was bought, just recently purchased with all of this, so it's an after the fact, but they didn't do it. But in order to get a permit to do what they want to do on their property, they have to make it right. So they have to, her and Bethany are in talks with trying to figure out how we can make this water-oriented structure either by moving it, taking it down, making it compliant.
Where did the barbers live?
I don't know.
That's what I asked on the meeting. They need to make some adjustment on the size of the structure they're going to build to not be close to the property line or something like that.
Right. They had discussed it in the zoning. I don't think it's solved yet.
No.
Where is it?
I'm not sure.
I don't recall at all.
I just,
it's a pretty big structure.
Yeah, and they've got water.
Well, from the description here, the 40 by 80 sounds like that's
what they want
what
to
they
do.
Want to build.
But they can't do that until they make the water-oriented structure. So what it is it's
a shed?
Yeah, a shed down by the lake that wasn't permitted. They just put it up. The existing owners, not the ones that are on the property now. So they have to rectify that by getting an after-the-fact permit, and then also fixing the problem. They have to get that permit, and then they have to, Bethany needs to assess if there's anything that needs to be adjusted with this shed down by the shore. So they have to do all of that before she can move forward on getting the permit for the 40 by 80 accessory structure.
Thanks, Jess.
No problem.
All right, I think that's it for planning and zoning.
All right, good to see you all.
All right, then we move on to the park and Tony.
Okay, we have some bits on the well for the splash pad. The three bits.
Let's see, two here.
Look in the back of Blue Water Well, there's another one back there.
Yeah, I got one in Blue Water Well.
Page 60.
60 is Lambert's.
Well, we've got three quotes here.
Did anybody check on that test pump thing?
Yeah, Ham did.
There's a full packet over there if anybody cares to look at it, of the meeting.
If you want us to, because you printed them out.
I don't care.
I'm sorry.
I think that $14,000 deal, we're unsure if that's going to apply. If it applies, it'll apply to whatever we decide to do.
So realistically, we have to look at this $30,000.
Right, that, not the $44,000, exactly.
Oh, okay, that makes it better. Thank you.
Right,
I was looking at our thing.
Why are they so far out of line? No, right. Yeah, we may need to do that, we may not need to do that. And I think Ann made a call to the DNR, and that was kind of their answer. They couldn't tell us if we have to do that or not. I believe it depends on the volume of water we
It does. Use. He said, yeah, that council should be fully aware that if we are using too much water in the water park, that DNR may require a test pump at some point. Right now they don't, because they don't know the water usage. So
the test pump, and that's to so they know how much water we're pumping?
Correct. That's how I understand it. So he said just move forward with the standard well and just make sure you're informed that if we are generating too much water, because they want to make sure we're not pulling too much water, so we're taking it away from other area wells, or I don't remember what else he said. That was the biggest thing, where the water table is. Our splash pad expert said his high end, he felt if the splash pad was running from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day through the season, both sections, 30,000 gallons a day.
And what is allowed before we have to install?
It's right around that threshold.
It is right close to
Yes.
That.
But that, like I said, that's running it every minute.
Every day, every minute.
Yeah. And on that same note with these wells, it's going to be potable water. The current well over there now is between the two buildings. Mm-hmm. Could we tie that well into the new building? No.
I don't think so.
Why?
I don't know. I'm assuming that's why you're getting a new well.
By the existing well?
No. Eliminate, because of the position of that well, and we don't know where we're going to go with those buildings over there, but if we could we tap into that well and use that well for that building and eliminate the old well and possibly build over the top of it? You know, and that's why that alcove is there in that building, because the well sits back there.
No, the well was put in there after the alcove was in there. Harvey Johnson was mayor when that well was put back in there. I don't know where it was before that, but it was back in Harvey Johnson was mayor.
I'm sure. I bet you it's that pipe that's in the well it was before.
But so you're saying to eliminate that well,
sure,
use this well to power or to for the well. Then we. The thing is,
but in the future, I mean, I'm not saying it has to happen today.
Right.
I'm just saying, looking forward,
okay,
could that well be the well for the community center?
I would say that we planned for the proportions of the splash pad with the wells that we're putting in now, but for the splash pad for the park, if we add the community center, this well will have to be bigger or different, I would think.
I think that
my understanding.
You know, this is for the water park. I think we need to just focus on the water park for this one, for this point. Because of the grants that we are possibly getting, deviations from the grants itself. So I think at this point, we're just going to kind of go this route.
Thinking down the line.
It's a great thought, but I think we...
That's only going to be a short-term use. We could tap into it and use that. Then we could feasibly, if we wanted to, make that part and reform the top.
Yeah, and if we decide to go that route, it gives us a place to have it.
I'm just thinking...
No, and that's great thoughts. It's, you know...
So... Discussion on the bid.
Yep, we need to discuss the bids.
Yeah, you know, looking at them, I've looked at them, they look pretty similar in what's provided and all of that. We've got one at $29,482. That's Lambert. We've got Blue Water at $313.75. And we've got Runyon at $27,750. Anybody care to make a motion on that?
Make a motion.
Do we accept who?
I think we can go with that one, because what happened if we need to pay the extra amount of money for the DNR thing? Because they say they don't know now, but what about if later on they say you need to come up with this? So
it's going to be a number roll, possibly.
Uh-huh. And then you save me like $3,000 in between that one and the $29,482, so you can add to that $14,000, you know.
Did we ever address this one community water?
Yes, we did. If that is potable water.
Yes.
It just, he because it's not attached to residential, it's not a residence, that's how I think he was told how to put it down there. And that is potable water also.
So we have a motion?
We have a motion.
I'll second that.
We've got a second. Okay, we've got a motion for Runyon well drilling at $27,750. Vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, there we go. All right, and then we go on to the pickleball resurfacing quotes. And we have two quotes on that, one for Lee Sports Surfacing, and we also have CNC Court Incorporated, Court North.
Who did the first one?
Lee Sports, I believe.
It's on 63.
On 63, and then the other is on 66.
To make it easy for you, obviously the cost is almost double from one to the other, and Lee Sports Surfacing was amazing to work with. So...
Looking at these, I looked at them, and there is one difference that I caught, and that is on Lee's it says apply two coats of acrylic leveling material, and on this one, there's only one coat of the acrylic resurfacing. So, if that means anything, and again, Lee's is considerably
less. I'll make a motion we go to Lee Sports Surfacing LLC.
I second. Okay, we have all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, then we're on to Randy with the fire department.
Just a few things here. I've been asked by the mayor to put together a committee for the fire and rescue capital expenditure, and just start getting the ball rolling as far as what's it look like for a finished product, what do we want to do on that. So I'm going to ask Jesse if he would join in the committee, and if there's anybody else that would like to sit in on that, I'd appreciate it. But we hope to get on a weekly meeting and discuss what we want to see the path.
Yeah, I you know, that's, I think that's kind of, we've got that a little further down, but let's talk about it right now. Getting a few, is this a good time to talk about that?
We're supposed to do pagers now.
Oh, okay. Pagers, wrong pagers, jump in. We'll back up here.
It's all kind of the same umbrella, but.
Yeah, all right, we'll stick with the timeline. So we're on the pagers, I guess, Jesse.
Yep, they've got them.
You got both the pager quotes. One is the DESC Communications is Granite Electronics. That's who we have used.
There you go.
And then we got another quote from Granite Communications. That was one I brought up last month. So I got the other quote too, and I talked to both of them on the phone. They're both great to talk to, very knowledgeable. And the prices are $25 different, I think. So.
$85. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Which one do you recommend?
It doesn't matter to me at all. I like talking to both of them, and I think apples to apples, it's the exact same thing for each of them. So.
So Granite doesn't have anybody in Brainerd anymore?
No, they're all on the same cloud, really. I guess they're a little closer. DSC is, but. And then, that's it for pages, I guess. I've been looking at the radios. I asked about radios last month, and it sounds like everybody else is updating their radios, and so they have all these old ones that are the same as ours, and they're getting rid of them. So I'm like, why don't we just use those ones until someone says, you got to update every year, because they work just fine. So
kind of tricky to change channels.
Yeah. Well, these other ones got a lot of buttons on them for you guys, so. There's a lot more buttons than these other ones. These new ones we have now, so. I'm trying to keep it simple.
Did everyone find their quotes? They're attached to the fire and rescue minute.
There's
several.
Oh, yeah.
You've got them.
Okay.
I don't have an opinion either way between any of the companies.
$85 you save with one.
I'll just make a motion that we go with the pagers from Brandon Communications for the fire department.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The only other thing I have is we had two medicals last month. We're still working on a CPR class for a community type of one. He didn't have any dates open in March. And then April for our meeting night, we have a burn trailer over here, so I don't know if April will work.
So back to the CPR. Was that still going to cost us what you had said before per person?
We were going to ask Rex once we kind of got a date set and kind of a number for him. So. Also, we need to pick them out of the public fund.
It's just we've never paid that much before.
Yeah.
So.
How much is it? I'm curious.
What was it per person?
$8 per person. If you had less than 10, and $75 if you had more than 10.
I mean, well worth it, but.
Okay, and this is per person, so this would include everybody in the fire department, city employees, and public people that would want to be in it.
The last time we did it 2 years ago, we had a full room, 30 some people. Probably 15 of them were just residents.
That's wonderful.
Who puts that on?
We usually go through North Point, and that's who did it 2 years ago, too.
So we explored, like Jesse said, have we explored where we could get the money?
I haven't, no. But the League of Minnesota Cities teamed up with MMUA. They do monthly meetings at different cities. And the city of Emily just hosted CPR AED certification, and it was free.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can worry about that then.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask if the AED was along with the CPR.
When?
It is together, okay, good.
And I did talk to Keith about this, and he said it's all administrative costs.
Well, I don't know if this is apples to apples training, though. You know, Chad took it in, I think, it was 2 hours, so I don't know who put it on, but maybe I'll reach out to Carrie at the City of Emily and see.
Yeah, I think it should be apples to apples, because it's all goes through the...
They have to do the same kind of training.
Sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Not being stingy, but...
Yeah.
But I think we do still just leave it open to the public as far as anybody wants to come and... And I don't know, maybe just take that money out of another budget or, I don't know.
I'd like to see every employee, especially the AED over there, know how to operate that.
With that then, do you want to make a motion, you know, in between time? Because if it's Rex, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he has the availability to do it and we can't get to this program for a while, just go with him and get it done?
Because
if he's saying March.
Yeah, he didn't have one open in March.
Oh, he didn't have one open.
No.
Okay, so could we wait till, April Council?
April,
mm-hmm.
For, okay.
Yeah, we haven't heard back on him on an open date yet.
Okay.
What he even have, so.
Okay. Then I'll do some research too.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
Do we want to make a motion on that, or are we holding up for now?
Sounds like we could probably hold off till April.
Thank you, good, yeah.
All right.
We still have 3 members taking Firefighter 1. Or they're in the Firefighter 2 now because they passed their Firefighter 1 class. They all passed. And their hazmat. And now they got Firefighter 2 they're taking. That's all one class. But they'll be done at the end of March, so they're doing a great job. They're very tired, but they're doing a great job. I think that's all I got. Unless you want to talk about the sign that you sent me a picture of the other day.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me. We talked about this at council quite some time ago. The 2 logos that are currently on the fire department, they were plywood with a vinyl laminate stuck over the top, and it's all peeling off. And I'd sure like to go down and investigate as far as having those 2 signs redone.
Absolutely.
Something they look better.
I've been thinking that.
I think you were the one that originally brought it up with
LeBron a while ago.
It was actually a letter from a resident.
Oh.
Yeah. It looks pretty tacky. We should explore getting those replaced.
Yeah. And I have to stand out there and I took a picture and said, would you remind me of this tomorrow night?
Well, and back in the day, Jesse actually designed, did a couple designs.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I even thought what's on your shirt.
Yeah, it's got to be really durable. It gets beat by the sun. So I don't even know, something metal hanging up there? Because that you can see how that vinyl works up there. It just.
Did K&M do that, or do you don't know?
They're across the lake.
Okay.
We should check with Carrie and see.
Okay.
See what she recommends.
Okay, because maybe I'll see if she can stop.
The sun a lot for a large portion of the day.
Well, maybe we'll take some pictures and send them to her and then see if she wants to stop up and look. Do you want the same, just something durable?
I would like the name on the blue one. Is it black? And it's black on blue, and you can't read it, so about the only change I would see is go white on blue instead of
black on blue. See it from the road when you're driving by.
Okay.
You don't have to walk up to it and look up and see what it is.
Okay.
It would be nice.
Yeah. Okay.
So I got. You guys got anything for me at all? Or?
Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks again, Joe.
Yeah. All right, that moves us into road construction and maintenance. And Mark, I don't know if you want to speak on these couple items. Not sure. Where's the right? Is that an add-on?
Yep.
No, well, it's on here. Oh, that is an add-on.
That is an add-on.
Well, it's on the agenda, it just wasn't in your packet.
which is a new
thing. Yeah, like if it's very new somewhere. But I don't think we have any options on.
No, and that guy did a good job last year.
Yeah, he really did.
I was very impressed.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I guess we just, I made a motion that we spend $41,000, $31,107.30 to have COVID excavating chloride our roads.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for Corbin Excavating. Any comments or questions? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And as far as the crack sealing material, I'm not sure how much we're going to need for that, so
I know we're talking about 3 barrels, I believe.
I think that got us by for a couple of years last time. What did I say the last time we bought it was 21?
21, I believe, yeah.
So
and
that's
I think what we're looking at is a parking lot here. It's got some cracks, pretty good cracks. And
then sure some of the roads, too.
And I'm sure we use it other places, too. So
the total would be 830 times 3.
Randy, do you have any, have you used any of these products before? Did you do anything with crack sealing when you were in the car business?
Not really, no.
You just put new stuff down?
Yeah.
I know that the front page is what we have used in the past, and actually it's the least amount of money for it. And, it seemed to be a good product, I guess, from what I understand.
But then that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And on that note, I guess, I believe it was the right 3 barrels we talked about last time, we already got the machine for it. I think that's what we got the machine through.
For that particular product, it's for, yeah.
So I would like to make a motion that we get 3 barrels of Team Lab crack sealant.
Wait a second.
Do we want me to put a total in on that? Or okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Anything else on?
No, this is, you got the layout of what needs to be done and which ones are going to be done, and I believe that's going to do the same as we always do. I mean, we're going to come back and and the stuff we used last year, it's held up so long.
Boy, it held up all summer. It was, I mean, after a while, that before the year prior, you know, it got pretty to where you couldn't see it the last year, so you could see it through the year.
Yeah. All year. And then there was no need for a reapply.
No.
No, we were very happy.
I think Tony's on a hope, but
and the corn version makes it worse.
Can we do this tomorrow?
No.
It's already getting dusty over there.
Well, it will be.
Mine's still ice. Okay, so then we move on to the liquor store report. And I believe that would be Emily.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Thank you for the party, by the way.
Yeah.
That was so good. It was so fun. I think everyone had fun. It went really well. I was happy to be a part of it.
Are you going to put the pictures up on your rotating wall or anything? Or
what? What rotating wall?
Well, in the past, one of the deals was they had a slideshow. When they went to our channel, that's what it was, didn't it? The bar
had our channel, not
on
Facebook
or
not.
Oh, so I did take a lot of really nice pictures that day, but I do have to get permission from some other people. Like I had a picture of Andy with his family, and I called him, and he didn't want that up there because I originally made a Facebook post, and then literally like 30 seconds later I took it down. I was like, wait a minute, I just need to think about this, you know, because I just wanted to make sure I wasn't doing anything wrong and posting pictures to anybody that didn't want it. So.
We all got to sign NDAs to get.
Everybody just has to let me know. I mean, everybody here, if you would, let me know if it's okay.
I need to see what I
open. Ditto.
Stop.
You when you fell down.
If
you would let me know, if, we could do that personally if you like. I'll give it another week or so. But just let me know if you do not want your picture on social media, because I did get some nice gems. So, to review PML, I'm not really good at this, but I think everybody has this printout. And then to just let everyone know, it looks like there were some large, a couple large bills from 2024 that were paid in February. And so one of them was the cost from December. I don't know what else that's supposed to say. ADS?
Ads.
Ads, this will get, just, I thought maybe it was cut off. And then the SCR invoice from March. And then the audit cost, and then also the purchased clothing. But the clothing seems to be going really well. I'm seeing sales on that almost every day. So, yeah, I think I was just supposed to mention that. I would like to order make another order of clothing and get more like t-shirts. Maybe possibly some tank tops or something, you know, for like summer. There was some feedback about that, you know, because currently right now the only t-shirts we have for sale are what's on our clearance rack, and they're all like 4X. So, well, I think we've already been talking about that. And then I am not going to go to the, I can't remember if we talked about this, but the MMBA conference in Alexandria this year, I'm not going to attend that. Ann and I just found that there would have been one beneficial day for me to go, and the rest of it was just kind of, I feel like it would be a waste of time. It was not very educational. It was just kind of weird things. I think you looked at the agenda as well. So
kind of a party.
But you should you should talk to Tony, because part of being in that is making contact with people in the neighborhood that also are gonna probably attend.
Yeah.
Tony, you would know more than I know you attended that pretty regularly, didn't you?
I did every year I could, and I was on the board for two terms.
So
there was a day, I think it was the first day of the boot camp. And I thought that would be very beneficial for me and educational. And I would be willing to go up for that. I just felt like the 4 days, I mean, there was kind of nonsense topics to me. I just thought, you know, I can certainly give you a copy of the agenda and get your feedback on it and go from there. But, you know, if maybe even just going out there for the boot camp day, which I believe is the first day.
I don't know that they give you that option.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's like all or nothing.
Oh, we have people come and go, though. I don't know.
But if they can pay for it.
Unless it's changed. I would suggest that if it is determined and you do go for the 1 day, I would suggest that you go ahead and stay overnight there. The camaraderie and the meeting of the other managers, especially in this area and stuff, and the knowledge and stuff, and you'll get to meet them, and everybody helps everybody. It's
which is nice. Yeah, yes. Definitely.
And it's nice to have a face to go along with, you know, Sarah from, you know, Longville, or, you know, whoever from where. Yeah.
Yes, I agree totally. So we can look in more into that, maybe see if that's an option for me too.
She would probably need a motion, though. I don't have it in here.
Well, we would cover mileage and hotel.
Okay. And the class.
If she can do the 1 day.
I'm pretty confident it's not an option.
Really?
No.
I'll call on that.
It's on my desk.
That used to be an option.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and what we spoke of this morning was taking a field trip. And I was in Longville last night and stopped. Nancy was gone already, but, you know, I wanted to see her and say hi. And I thought, you know, if MMBA is not going to work out, then let's take a field trip like you and I used to do and go meet them.
Yeah,
and
she mentioned
on their premise, Sarah.
And see their stores. That's awesome, too. Another awesome thing is to get together once you meet everybody. do maybe a monthly lunch in summer, yes, where you all get together and talk about what's going on in your store, my store, everybody, you know, and what's working, what's not working, what's a new thing. It's a lot of fun.
I like that.
I do too.
So I should initiate that, huh? Crap.
We used to do it.
Okay, that sounds like fun.
So is MMBA an option or not? Because we will need a motion.
I'll make a motion that if she can go for the one day, that we cover her class, mileage, and
lodging.
Lodging, yes.
There was a second that.
Okay, great. Thank
you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
When is it?
November 12th. The end of the month.
Yeah.
Okay.
April. Right?
Oh, yes, the end of April. And then the end of the month, on the 28th, I will be going to Duluth to get my serve safe food manager certificate. So, I did that this morning.
She needs approval for that. It's on page 74.
Yes, we do. I'll make a motion that she goes take her ServSafe Certificate of Food Protection Manager renewal program. And we should cover mileage, the class, the hotel, should she need it.
I second.
It's a proportion. I'll need it. I'll
be done. Oh. No, it's the class, the exams from 4:15 to 6:15 that night.
Class goes from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. So I would have to get up really early Friday morning, drive up there, and then I ask that I just have a hotel room for that night. I'm not good at driving at night with my eyes.
What? I mean, would you be opposed if she has it for two nights? If class is at 8?
I'm fine with it.
Okay. And I'll look to see if we can find a
bed. Well, yeah, the Canal Lodge, Canal Park Lodge was $400 for one night.
Sure, I'm going.
So,
up.
Yeah,
well,
that's
there's
it.
There's lots of places
to
stay in the
town. Yeah. Are you okay with two nights, or would you like her to drive up that morning?
I think one night is enough myself.
Okay.
I mean, just me, because you can either get up early, you know, get up early. It's light at 6. It'll be light at 6. It's coming.
Okay.
Perfect. But that's just me.
That's only like, what, 2 hours?
One person.
Two.
2 hours.
It's 2 hours.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Okay, we've got a motion for her to go to that class and for one night of lodging and stuff.
I made the motion.
Mark's made it. I have a second. We got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Amy Whitcomb. Our new bartender is absolutely amazing. She's brand new. She's a rookie. She's never bartended before. She's worked at a country club, but she's never had this type of job before. And she is doing a really great job. I worked with her on the most important is your, you know, your pour comps and how much you're pouring in a drink. And she got that down right away. I worked with her closely on that, and educated her also on some drinks. She also made some drinks and stuff on Sunday, and had to educate her and Patty on how to make martinis and stuff, which is a lot of fun. I love making those. But she's doing really well. She just seems like she's a really good asset to our team, so I'm very thankful for that.
I'll make a motion to approve hiring Amy Whitcomb as part-time bartender. At 11:13 an hour.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The review and approval for large cooler repairs.
Page 78.
This is, we just have the one bid. There it is.
We have
that was one way more of a slide on here. But then he ended up adding a lot more free on than what he thought.
Right. We did last month, Tony, at 2,000 for SCR, but it was tabled. But then we were getting nervous that it was going to have problems again,
yes,
and cost us an emergency visit. So Gary and I have the ability to approve something like that. So we approved the 1,100 bid that was in the packet last month compared to this SCR at 2,000. And then when he came out and he performed the work, he had no idea that the Freon would be that low. So he came over to me and said, do you want me to add it or do you want me to come back? And I said, add it,
please. And we have just had it fixed, what, 2 months prior?
Right.
And it was that much down, I mean, so that's why it just got a little higher than.
Sorry, I'm glad it's done.
Did you approach him on a, like SCR does with us, a maintenance program?
Yes, I believe he may be coming in tomorrow, and, you know, that kind of comes in a little lower here, but I think we want to go out and look at, maybe I'm jumping the gun here a little bit on the dehumidifier and stuff.
Well, maybe if we could just get a motion to approve.
Yeah, let's get a motion on.
I make a motion to approve Maverick's bid or repair for $1,530.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, you got a motion on the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Well, I guess that's the next line. It's the dehumidifier in the hood. And yeah, that's something I think we've already gone out for. We have gone out for bids. The dehumidifier, when Maverick was here, he seemed very knowledgeable. I brought him into the off sale there, and he looked below the cooler where all the tiles were popped off. He says, "You got a problem there." He says, "I used to work holidays." He said, "I did this all the time." He said, "Your cooling system doesn't run long enough for the moisture to get pulled out because we're oversized." His suggestion was to put a dehumidifier unit in the back room, possibly above the cooler if it would fit, but if not, we'd build a shelf over the door here that goes into the storage area to set it on. And then I'm not sure exactly how he intends to do it, but we have that venting over the top of the coolers, and I think he could use that for a dehumidifier, basically. I had him in there, we have that little one, he looked at that and kind of chuckled and shook his head, said it's just not handling it. And the system that we have is not running long enough because it's oversized, so.
Right.
I'd like to go out for a bid for a dehumidifier and also a hood vent.
Can you quality give us a bid on that? Did you have Jeremy over here and measure up that for a
hood vent?
Yeah, it was just the hood was $4,000. But that, I mean, he's not HVAC, so he doesn't know, you know, the air we're pulling out and the air we're bringing in. I mean, that was just a hood.
And that was,
then we turned, switched
gears. That's also with that hood, we almost need an HVAC person because we've got to bring replacement air in also. That's got to be calculated, you know, because I think we're talking about a 6 or 8 inch exit pipe. So, you know, we've got to bring some air in. So that's got to be part of that quote. I know we kind of went out to Cross Lake Sheet Metal, but I think we're a little more prepared now to ask around, and I think it has been gone out to Maverick, Cross Lake Sheet Metal. I know Plumbing Etc. was contacted. I don't think there's any response. There's somebody else here too. SCR, I believe. But yeah, so we're going out for bids on those things. We need to get them done, and so that's still in the process.
Yeah, and the hood vent is so stinky in the kitchen, so stinky, and even out in the bar, like everywhere. So a new hood would be fantastic.
Have you ever stopped at that restaurant supplier, Tony, back in the past? Did they have any hoods, used hoods over there?
Oh my gosh.
Because a lot of times
I've been there 10 years or more since I've been there. I can't tell you.
They have those stainless steel pairs that they have a lot of stuff there.
I remember seeing some Ansel systems, and those go with hoods, so they probably had hoods there too. That A to Z down in Princeton?
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid
of. I can call.
You can even go online and look and see what they have.
Right.
That takes so long. I need a hood. Okay, great. The cook job. So we just need a motion to approve that position.
Will this person be able to work?
I'm sorry, what?
Will this person be able to work behind the bar?
No, they're not needed to. I mean, they're going, you know, it's going to be, you know, like, projected as, you know, we are always still are all a team, and, you know, what's needed, if they're not busy, you know, will they help fill ice or, you know, maybe do some duties, but they won't be expected to make drinks or pull tabs. There should be just strictly kitchen.
Well, that, do you think that person, you're going to sell that much food, do you think you're going to need a straight cook?
We want to sell that much food. That is why also, you know, I want to expand on the menu and what we offer for food. And again, it just kind of brings it back to, you know, the bartenders are not educated, you know, or usually not experienced to prepare food properly and serve it. So, you know, yes, we are kind of wondering about, you know, what hours look like in this position. And I think the way that it was stated was, even in the slow times, it would...
can you scroll down, Jess? Or did we add that? Sorry. Yep. A minimum of 20 hours and maximum of 36.
Yeah, so, you know, also just... I'm going to make sure that this person knows, you know, in the wintertime, you know, it's very, you know, it's going to be, you know, very slow. You're not going to have as many hours. And in the summertime, you know, obviously it's going to be busier. We're thinking, you know, if we have two people that we hire that can cover the kitchen full time, and we can totally, you know, offer, you know, more menu items, daily specials and stuff like that. So I just would really like to see my bartenders not have to cook. I don't believe that they should, you know, they're bartenders. So I've never worked in a place where they've done that. And yes, I know, like, sometimes munis, yep, they have, like, the quick, easy auto fry. But, you know, we're already, you know, preparing other foods other than just... taking out of the freezer and dumping it in. So, you know, you really need that person, like, cook in here to take care of the kitchen and, you know, like, keep, you know, help, like, be responsible for flipping food and making sure, you know, that everything's, you know, dated and making the sauces and, you know, prepping and just stuff like that. I think it's one of the reasons why we do have a little bit of a hard time. Like, I know, like, finding bartenders is really hard. And I think it's a turnoff. I know personally, if I would have came in here and applied for a bartender position, and I was like, okay, well, you also have to clean, you know, you also have to cook food, you have to wash your own dishes, you know what I mean? I would have been like, whoa, you know, bartenders are minimum wage, you're just a bartender. So it's, I know, like, you'd probably look at it as, we're probably, you know, like, especially now, we're not that busy. The bartenders are doing okay. And I have not been here for a summer, but I can only imagine the chaos of, you know, bartenders just trying to, who's going to cook tonight? And who's going to, you know, wash the dishes and clean the kitchen when they should be worried about the bar?
So, I don't see a wage... Did I miss it on here?
Is there a it's usually not in the job description.
Right.
No.
Are we
she I think she, yes.
So we came up with $17 an hour. I called Andy's. I called Moonlight Bay. I'm trying to think. I can't remember if it was. I think I called three places. But that was basically, they were like at $17, $18 an hour. However, we are the smallest kitchen in the area. We do not have anywhere near what those other places have. So they have full kitchens. We're much smaller. So, but we also are then you're hand washing, you know, your dishes and your pans. And so it's just a little bit different and kind of keep into that.
All right, so I guess I'm looking for a motion to approve this job description.
I approve. May I make a motion?
I'll second.
Got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The only comment I want to make on that is when I, you know, these bartenders are going to be required to do some cooking when the cook is not yet.
Right.
I don't want anybody to feel like they don't have to.
Right.
You know, that's got to be explained to all of our bartenders that this may be part of your job description too. You know, we're not going to close the bar down or the kitchen down just because we don't have a cook. We need,
yeah.
You know, so we're lightening the load on those bartenders, but it's not taking it away entirely. And I want them to know that.
Yeah, that is understandable. And then, you know, just, you know, the feedback that I have gotten from people is, you know, there's a lot of places to eat around here, but there's not a lot of places to eat around here. You know, it's all the same. I feel like we could do really good with that. And but we just have to have that one person. You know, I've been taking it. You know, I've been doing as much as I can, and it's a lot. And so I'm sure it's, you know, a lot for my bartenders also. You know, just preparing, prepping. You know, all for the daily specials, and so it really takes away from other things that I could be focusing on as well. So, I really think it's a good thing, and it's kind of a trial, you know, like, it's not a trial, it's a thing, but, you know, I'm trying to think of how far it best, but it's a process, and I'm glad to have your support on that, and I hope that it only increases our profit. So, one other thing I always wanted to mention is I think we need a state flag. I don't know where we get those, but ours is really shredded hanging on that pole and it looks sad.
I heard that today.
Can we buy
a question?
I prefer an old flag.
At one time I made the motion where they first
adopted
a new flag that we bought like a half a dozen.
We did. No, I just bought one. Not hanging out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can still buy the old one.
We can still buy the old flag?
I mean, I did.
Maybe buy two.
Okay.
Just have one for a spare.
Okay, now we're moving on to my area here.
Hold on.
Sorry.
Okay, there was no determination on pay for this position. So if you go $17 an hour, and I apologize, I should have done this ahead of time for you. At the 36 hours a week for a year, you're looking at about $31,000, $32,000. At the 20 hours a week, times 52 weeks, it's $17,680. I just want you aware, you know, that's...
Can we break that out in the P&L on the operating and expenses?
Well, it'll go under wages.
Can we make a separate...
Oh, sure.
Could you put reference? Rather than throw it in with...
I'll certainly try. I should be able to.
Yeah.
I mean, the wages right now are just categorized, but maybe if I can do it where it's liquor, so we know that's your manager and your bartender's administration is us, maintenance is maintenance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I'll do a cook so you can see every month.
So we can track it.
And then you could also see, I guess you can't, your food sales, but we can do a monthly report to you that we do now for our sales tax, and it breaks down the whole month by week. You remember that. And you'll be able to see then your food sales for the month.
Great.
As well.
Great.
So, what I'd just like, I mean, you have to determine and make a motion on what you're going to offer this person.
One other thing I want to say real quick too is having someone in the kitchen and delegating, like the kitchen is that's their job. We can take a look at possibly eliminating the cleaners that we're paying $600
a day. 100 a clean.
100 a day, right? Yeah. Okay. But yeah, you know what I mean, like that. So like,
sure, so
and then we get that
savings there also.
You know, they're cleaning and mopping the kitchen, and then you know, the bartenders would be responsible for you cleaning their bar like you would do at any other place I've ever worked at. So that's kind of a lot of money that you pay those cleaners that can be also eliminated. So if you put that into what you're paying, you know what I mean, your what it's going to cost you for paying that cook.
Yeah, I see. Well, that is in the job description.
Is this a cleaning plan?
Yeah, I mean, maintain
a clean and organized workstation.
Bathrooms, there's, we got bathrooms and vacuuming and all of that, on sale, off sale.
So, yeah, and that could, you know, you could maybe, you know, asking them to help with, you know, the floors and off sale. But bar staff should be responsible for helping clean the bar, clean the bathrooms. There's no reason why the bar, I scrubbed toilets working up at Deer Haven, and any other place I bartended at that or served, we clean. So that shouldn't be a shock. I mean, maybe, you know, I guess, and then I'm trying to like, okay, well, for my bartenders, like, you know, you can get, stay out of the kitchen. You don't have to worry about going back in your cooking and it being chaos and cleaning that. You can focus on the bar out here and do, you know, you're cleaning at the end of your shift. And that's a completely norm. So
we do have a cleaning service right now. They're cleaning Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's $100 a time. So
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so the bartenders are picking up Monday, Tuesday, and then, okay, all right. And the bartenders have cleaned in the past, too. I'm just wondering how you were doing it. I don't have any.
Yeah, as of right now, they're cleaning Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But they're just, I don't see, again, the garbage is in the lobby and cleaning the bathroom. That's all just something normal staff can do. Like, I don't see why we need to pay two people for $100 a day to come in and do that. We haven't, you know, especially on the weekends, and I know we get busy in the summer, but, you know, as your full bar staff team starts depleting throughout the evening, they each do little things. They have little closing, like empty the garbages or bought glass, you know, bathroom garbages, just kind of stuff like that.
So back to the pay.
That 17 sounded good to me. Do we need to give a range, or?
I think we do give it a range depending on, because you never know what you might come up with. A guy that's actually a retired sous chef that wants to come in here and play around.
Sure.
Versus some kid that's only worked at McDonald's, left the burgers. Which actually they probably pay better than us. So I think McDonald's by 20 some an hour.
I was just looking at what was comparable in the area. And then also taking into account of how small our kitchen is. You know, and the amount of stuff we offer. They don't have to come in and grill a steak. So I guess
they
that
don't.
Was my thinking of, like...
Right. Right.
And if other places are at 17 and they have a full kitchen, we're already starting them out.
So
we're starting them out at 17.
It's going to be easy, yeah. Be
and she can come back in a month if she finds someone that's stellar and come to you and say, I want to give them more. But we just have to watch our P&L.
Give them a range from like 14 to 18. Then.
Okay.
Depending on experience.
Sure. Are you making that motion?
I guess so.
Okay. Well, a second.
I'll second that.
Yeah. What was it? $14 to $18 an hour, depending on experience.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
You trust Emily to make money so she'll watch the bottom line and give them the hours they need and don't
sure.
Work they don't need to work.
I'm sure I'm trying, yeah.
Okay.
All right, now we're moving on. Let's see, we're going to go to that feasibility. There's the top one we crossed out on the agenda earlier about the new city attorney and handbook. We sat out, we don't have that information. So we're going to the feasibility study for, and I'm forming a feasibility committee. Now, I've kind of talked to Randy about this already, and Randy, you were already ready to talk about it earlier.
I said that.
And, you know, I think, you know, we've got this feasibility study, and as far as I'm concerned, didn't really say much more than what we already know, and I think we need to get some people together and get our heads together and kind of find out which way we're going to go. We're going to have to call our people that we talked to on this, and we need to get a better idea of what they're suggesting and our options there. But I think by getting a feasibility group together, Randy, myself, I think Jesse may be somewhat interested in it. And I know on the fire department you guys have got some good construction people, and I'd sure like to hear their 2 cents worth if they're willing to give it, you know. I'd like to, you know, kind of get a wish list from the fire department as to what you need, what you'd like to see.
Exactly.
We'll
give you a
long one. But, you know, at this point, we're not even sure if we could go new or if we can remodel. But this is just really getting the ball rolling and heading in the right way. So I guess just with that, I'd like a motion to form this committee and begin the process here.
I'll make the motion and put together a feasibility study to go over the Bolton and make
feasibility study. Okay, we've got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Can we do discussion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Can we do discussion?
Yes.
Oh, any discussion?
Would you like to put it out there, at least on our website, and invite people from the public?
I would, yeah.
Okay. Is the website enough? Do you want it to go anywhere else? I mean, we'll post it, too.
I think you should put some in the paper.
I was just going to ask you.
I think Crosby has picked up a lot of
customers
in our area because we do post in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it definitely be worth it. Facebook, paper, post it on the board.
Wherever you put it, yeah. Get her out there.
Yeah, because this is kind of an important thing for our city. I'd like to really have as many good people looking at it as we can.
Is it okay then if your motion's amended to add that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now you can vote, sorry.
Pardon?
Now you can vote.
Okay, we're going to amend that motion and now we'll vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then we've got a community center pavilion use costs. Oh, the cost, renting out the pavilion to staff and stuff. The cost of it. I guess, you know, I think that pertains mainly to staff of the city that we're looking for a better deal than anybody else gets. I don't think so. In my view, I think we ought to pay the same as anybody else. We shouldn't be any more special than anybody. I don't feel that. Or I feel that. I'm open for discussion.
I think it's just clarity for us as staff. So if anybody expects it, we can just...
I never even thought about it. The fee is the fee. I mean, if I was to rent it, you tell me what the fee is, what the fee is.
And I'm going to be renting this one, and I don't have a problem with, I don't expect any special treatment.
Okay, we don't need a motion or anything. I think then it's just clarifying for us.
But does everybody agree? Does anybody have anything else different?
Anybody have any discussion on that?
I think there should be a sliding scale of what you're looking at. If you're going to have 50 people invited or 100, that affects your cost. And then also let them know whether or not any of our employees will be helping them out there for that particular shindig. So.
Right now it's just a flat fee. It doesn't matter how many people come. Okay. And if they do want to hire bar staff, they have to pay them.
Right, that's up to them as far as the bar staff goes. We would not provide it. Would that not be a private negotiation between bar staff and?
Yeah, I think that's how we did it before, yes.
Question then for organizations, FLOPA, or I know sometimes they have meetings in the community center? Is that something that...
Do we not charge them for that?
Any nonprofits, we haven't. I think it says right on the form, nonprofit.
Okay.
Good thing to keep up then. I don't see a problem. Any other discussion on that?
Yeah, one more. What if, like the girls, want to play dominoes over there in Duluth? Is that a...
I've never charged for that.
I know we've never been charged, but would we? Just curious.
It's more like
a cleaner. We leave it clean up. We leave it cleaner when we came, always.
No, I would never charge you. Because you're not, it's not an event.
I know you haven't, but I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
The only thing I was thinking when talking about the staffing is if we're going to offer them food, can we pick food?
We don't offer them food.
But can we down in the future now that we have a cook hired?
They could work with, Emily.
Yeah.
And have it probably catered.
That's a good idea. Let's, they want to utilize our
kitchen. That's a very good idea. That's a whole other
idea. Will you remember to tell her?
Also, is this a good time to discuss reserving of the pickleball courts then?
Yes, thank you. We did have an organization, it's FLOPA, they're going to have their annual meeting, and they just inquired if they could possibly rent the pickleball courts, or reserve them.
Isn't that online? Because the one time I played, people showed up and they said you actually make reservations on some pickleball
thing. You can't make reservations, you can sign up and say you're playing, but there is no reservation system.
Oh, okay.
At all. But I would have no problem, and they said, they'd expect to pay for it, that if we knew in advance, that FLOPA wants to rent this on Saturday, whatever, that we post it over there way ahead of time and says this court will not be available on this date, through this time, in a private party, or do you want to discuss this more? I didn't prepare you for this at all.
What does Crosslake do? I'm just curious with their pickleball courts.
I'd have to look again. It's been a while. I think they block out certain days of the week for their people who go and do tournaments, don't they? And
maybe
then
like
I think...
lessons too, I know now.
Yeah. But and maybe you don't want to get into this at all.
When is FLOPA going to do this?
Fall, isn't it?
It's August 16th, I believe.
Time to do some
Is that like on a Saturday? I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Let's wait. Let's do some.
Yeah, let's research a little bit more and see what other people do. I don't know.
Sounds good.
Okay. Okay, we move on. We've got a safety deposit box at First Western National Bank in Cross Lake.
Where do we keep it?
There is actually one piece of paper in there now for a CD, but a lot of the CDs now you don't get hard copies for. So the one I do have in our safe here, we have a safe here. And so I would just recommend skipping it. We house everything here because then I don't have to run down there every time a CD renews if there's a hard copy. But they don't even issue them anymore.
And there's a little cost involved there. We might as well save it. We've got our own safe.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would need a motion to close that.
I make a motion we eliminate the safety deposit box at First Western National Bank.
I get a second on that.
I second.
Okay, first and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, then we have, all right, we've got a stop payment on check 51181 for NAM. Ours, Brendel, for $954.68.
This check was issued on 8/31 of 2024 and is still on my books. It's stamped on the checks, void after 180 days, and it's well past that. I would like to get it off my books.
Well, she hasn't committed and said anything.
Is she entitled to a replacement on this check? I mean, she earned the money. What do we?
Council made a decision, a long time ago that because of this issue and other staff finding checks and cashing them, and that at 180 days, that check is void. So even if she would try to cash it now, the bank should not cash it.
Oh, I understand that, but she's still entitled to the money she has.
That's up to you guys. I don't even know if she realizes it's lost.
Well, we have a $35 stop payment, so if you wanted to go that route. And
$25
stop payment on it, and subtract that and maybe send her a letter or a phone call and make her aware of it. And if she drops it, we have to put a stop payment on it because it's 180 days, right?
I would advise that. Jess is the one who looked into that for me. The stop payment is only good for 6 months, so technically in 6 months we'd have to do it again, but...
Just final note. I would make this final notice. This is your check. Please cash your check. In 180 days, it will be null and void, and sorry.
Well, past 180 days.
I know, but she needs a second chance. I think she needs a second chance.
Well, this would be her, sixth chance, but...
On different checks. On different ones.
I reissued three in the month of September.
I know it's been an ongoing problem. I understand that. But that's
a lot. She should be notified.
That's a lot of money. She should be notified.
I'm just saying we subtract $25.
Absolutely.
And notify her, and if she drops the ball again, then it's...
Yeah, I guess, why don't we go ahead and put a stop payment on that, and then... Maybe you can send her a letter or something, and that she has a certain amount of time to respond to this and to pick up a new check, and if you don't do that, it's going to be gone. So, I don't know what time limit we should put on that, if another 6 months.
Well, that's what's stamped on the check, so that's what it's going to be.
If we issue her another check, and we say it's null and void in 180 days, here's your check. Please cash it. Don't cash it. It's done, and you're done.
Okay, so then I guess what we're saying is to agree to this stop payment and then subtract that from this total and send her that check again?
That's what I would do.
Is there a reissue fee then?
Well, it's my time, but...
All right, so I think we should, at that point...
But no, we've never...
Put a stop payment on it. I don't know if there's any monies involved in reissuance. We should reserve that out of that check to then give her the balance.
I'm fine. We just did the 25 before.
Okay.
But it just, if I could just put in the letter to highly encourage her to take care of it right away so this doesn't carry over another 6 to 8 months.
Kind of your late last chance on this if you want it, so...
I'd need a motion then to do a stop payment and reissue the check minus the $25 fee.
I make a motion that we issue a stop payment minus the $25 and send her a letter.
May I say one?
All in favor? Any discussion first, I guess? I think we're good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that brings us to the Governor's Roundtable in Cross Lake that I have been invited to on May 9th. I believe so. I got a letter or a text. It seemed
like that's going to happen.
Like it is going to happen. I've been in touch with it's actually set for May 9th, and we'll have an hour with them. And it's the mayors of Brainerd, Baxter, Breezy, Pequot, Cross Lake, I think Emily, and myself. There might be another one or two in there that I'm forgetting, but a lot of us have exactly 1 hour with him. And, you know, I don't know if I'll even have a chance to speak or not. I'd really like to hear from anyone else if they've got any questions that they'd like me to ask. I mean, if I might have only one shot at one question, but I'd really like to make it a good one. So if anybody, I'm open for any suggestions. I'd really like to... Pardon?
Any questions?
I've got all of those questions already.
Do Minnesota have their own version of Doge?
No, actually, there's a certain format that's got to be followed there.
I'm sure there is.
If I can find it quickly here. Okay, so this is the this is what was sent to me by the mayor of Cross Lake. Blockout May 9th, the governor's office called me yesterday and is looking for at sometime Friday for us to be able to do this at the Cross Lake City Hall. Roughly an hour long. Tailor a few questions based on these topics, please. It will be mayors only. The letter will be shared with the governor's office on Monday. So I have something here. Oh, there it is. Bear with me. This is...
Why anybody buy a droid is beyond me.
It's all too out of my league. Okay, so... Yeah, all right. So here, this is the letter to Governor Walz. Cross Lake is eagerly anticipating the economic benefits of hosting the governor's fishing opener. We are excited for the opportunity to showcase our community and highlight why Cross Lake is probably known as the beauty spot of Minnesota. Our businesses, resorts, and hotel are fully prepared to welcome anglers from across the state to take part in this summer tradition. As the mayor of Cross Lake, I personally invite you to a roundtable discussion with local mayors from the immediate surrounding areas. Attending mayors will represent the cities of Baxter, Brainerd, Breezy Point, Cross Lake, Emily, 50 Lakes, and Pequot Lakes. The key discussion topics include Paid Family Leave Act, environmental concerns, infrastructure needs, the Emily Manganese deposit, budget deficit, employment opportunities, and school funding. These issues significantly impact our community and the way we operate. And that's pretty much it. So those are the main things that they're looking at as far as questioning.
1 hour, huh?
Yeah. I say, I'll be lucky to get a high end. So, and there again, if I'm just asking if anybody's got any questions, I'd be happy to answer or ask any good question that anybody can come up with. And that's all I have to say about that. All right, so then we're going to move on to the Emily Food Shelf request for donations.
How much did we donate in the past?
None, I think.
Oh, we never donated?
I don't find it
ever. Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Not last year, I don't believe.
The fire department has generally donated, but we're kind of tight on funds at the moment.
We had a request.
And I have to say, too, according to the news and some of the stuff, that the food shelves are getting used more and more by more and more people. And there is a need. We have hungry people, and I think they should be fed.
I think the city has donated to the Wednesday night meal.
Yes, the shared care?
Yes,
for sure, yeah.
You know, they don't really ask for any specific number, I guess. I don't know.
In the past, I think the city just relied on the fire department making a donation.
How much would you guys give, do you know?
Can you look back at the check? But I think we've donated as much as $2,500.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Okay. That's
pretty simple. We generally do it because March is matching month. Mm-hmm. So any donations made this month have matching funds all in the state. That's why we get these in March. And I know we didn't make any donations last, well, we did small donations, but we've held back on our donations knowing that this is matching what happens every year.
Well, do I have any suggestions from anyone?
I make the motion that we donated $500.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion to donate $500 and a second. Any discussion?
Where would you like me to take that?
You do have miscellaneous donations, civic organizations, and your budget is $1,350.
Looks like a good spot.
So take it from there.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Does that have to be included in the motion? Okay.
I'm okay with that.
All in favor? Oh, we have somebody put a question.
My in-laws have property on East Fox Lake. They're on North Fox Beach Road. I don't know the exact personal number, but my name is Susan Peterson. I represent Gregory and Valerie Peterson on North Fox Beach Road. I just noticed, as a community member, that the North Star, which is a establishment in Breezy Point, they are doing something in collaboration with the food shelf where they're giving discounts on drinks. If people bring in 6 items for the food shelf, they get a free drink up to an $8 value. If you bring in 8 or 10 items, I think you get a appetizer. I just wondered if you had community people bring in canned goods, if they could get a buck off a drink, or if there's some way to do that to build up the food shelf. Because, like, you're right, there are people that are hungry and there is a need, and just something to consider, you know, and maybe that $500 covers those dollar offs or those free drinks or those, the free food that you, anyway, something to think about.
That's a good suggestion. Thank you.
It is. Didn't MMBA used to do a food drive in March?
Oh, yeah, we won it one
year. The Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association. Yeah, you did win it one year.
But I don't know if they still do, and I've been on for quite a while.
I almost think
that's definitely something Emily should, I'd like to see Emily push.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still got plenty of month left.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, then we have a request from the Crowing Historical Society for a donation also.
Last year you did not donate.
Has anybody been to the museum, the historical thing in Brainerd? Anybody here in this room?
I was back in 79.
That's next door, isn't it? I used to go with my mom all the time, but I haven't been for years, and I think I just don't think about it when I go to Brainerd, but I should go.
I've never been there. What is it, in the courthouse?
It's the old jailhouse. Huh?
It's the old jail. The sheriff lived there.
Yeah, it's the old.
It's right there by the old courthouse. It would be on the west side of the old courthouse.
That's where
kind of a small building
there. The land administration is.
That's behind.
Okay.
It's its own building. I think it was closed down in about 1980.
Jesus.
My other life. But so
I was just curious if anybody had been there, because I think it's kind of forgotten.
If there's no motions, it's just gonna go away, I guess. So all right, we're gonna move on to unfinished business. Do you have any unfinished business?
Do you have anything on you, Jesse?
Open forum, anybody have anything to say? And we're gonna go to adjournment then.
Take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.